Welcome back to Holy Sisterhood, the podcast. My name is Brooklyn and my friend Tara is joining us today, which I am so excited about. Tara is a counselor here in Gillette where we live, and she just has a lot of wisdom. I love hearing from you. So I'm thankful that you came on today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course. Okay. So first, how about you introduce yourself and just some things about yourself. Tell us about you.
Okay, so my name's Tara. I have been in private practice for maybe 10 years now, and I just love having the privilege and honor of walking with people on their healing journey. It is the greatest gift because I've had so many people walk on my journey with me. So to be able to give back and to be able to partner with someone and just give them more truth of God's word and what that means in their life and help them really not just have a head knowledge of it, but let it sink deep into the heart. It's powerful. So I'm grateful for that opportunity. Been married for 24 years and we've been together for 27. So my high school sweetheart, and we have four kids. We have three biological and one adopted, and just love to adventure and spend time with each other. And it's just, that's a little bit of me. It's very fun.
No, it is. You are. You're a very fun person. Whenever I hear you talk, because we've been in like group settings before, I'm always like, I want to be like Tara. Like, you're just so much fun.
On the good days.
Yeah. But so I wanted you to come on to kind of share some of your like biblical knowledge as well as the counseling, like school side of things. Okay. On emotions and the heart. And so that's what we're discussing this semester, which I told you about. And today it is really focused on noticing and naming.
Okay.
So we're reading through Jenny Allen's book, Untangle Your Emotions. I don't know if I told you that. Mm-hmm. So she talks about some main steps, and this is one of the first beginning steps is noticing and naming.
Yeah.
But I do want to preface it all because I think it's so easy, like in our culture today, especially in America and everything, we can so easily be led by our emotions. So while we are talking about how emotions are good and like God created them for good to lead us back to Him, I just want to say that they are not the truth. Like, I have to remind myself of this a lot, and my daughter, who's six, of this a lot, because she will be like, I don't feel like doing that, or I'm feeling this about this. And I'm like, that doesn't mean that's what's true, though. Mm-hmm. So we have to submit them to the will of God for us to be brought back to truth.
Yes.
And I think that's really important. And I think it's something you probably teach in your practice, right?
Of course.
So what have you noticed in your personal life and in your practice regarding that, like not being led by our feelings but submitting them?
Yeah, absolutely. So our feelings are what I would say is a compass to our Father. They're just more information. And most of us, we actually don't even take the time to reflect on our feelings at all. Like, we just kind of let them happen. Well, I don't know about you, but when I let my emotions happen to my loved ones, it doesn't always turn out well sometimes. Right.
Yeah.
And so we want to be able to learn from them. We want to be able to be attuned to them and understand them. But in order to do that, we have to name them. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when we name them, we really get a bigger picture of what's going on deeper, not just within the head, but more within the heart. And so we can name them. We understand from our emotions, there's a thought fueling that emotion.
Right.
Right. And so say I'm feeling very frustrated. Well, I might be partnering with a lie of something that's going on in my life. You know, I might be thinking they just cut me off in traffic on purpose. Like, how dare them? And then I let that fuel my frustration, right? And so if I first am aware of the emotion, then I can be aware of the thought. And then I get to see if it aligns with truth.
Right.
Right. So it's kind of a process of dissecting, but our emotions are meant to be able to be drawing us back to the Father, drawing us back to truth, because if we didn't have them, we wouldn't know we were off in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. Mm-hmm. I remember one time, I'm already veering off. I remember one time I was really struggling with anxiety, and we were in a group setting a women's thing. And you were telling me that you used to be like grateful for anxiety because it always pointed you back to God. And I had been sitting there like trying to pray away my anxiety. I'm like, go away from me. Can you explain a little bit like what you meant by that?
Yeah. So anxiety is really just typically a lot of unprocessed emotion, right? And so no one likes to feel it. It's actually really uncomfortable. We do know that some level of anxiety actually pushes us to perform better. You know, like if you're running a race and you're in the blocks and that anxiety comes, causes us to be motivated forward. But debilitating anxiety usually is because I have ignored myself for so long and God has been knocking and knocking and knocking on my door saying, hey, will you come to me? Will you come to me? Quit trying to pray this away. Let's learn and sit with me so that I can show you something much greater. We serve a God that replaces things, right? Yeah. He takes the lies. He takes the hurt. He takes the confusion and he replaces it with love and hope. But if we don't really pay attention and we try to get rid of it, we miss the goodness.
Yeah, that's so true. And you miss the whole like process of refinement and getting closer to God.
Yep.
So I'm reminded of when Paul says, is it in Ephesians? I'm not sure, but just about the thorn in his side and just how is a constant reminder to look back to God.
Yes.
So that's kind of how, after you shared that with me that night, that's how I've looked at that feeling. And I don't love that feeling still. I still would prefer to not feel it.
It doesn't feel good. It's a good feeling, but it doesn't feel good.
Yeah. But so that's like, that's their argument, Jenny Allen's. And then I read one by Chip Dodd. Have you read, gosh, I'm blanking and I didn't write it down. I've said it in every podcast. I think it's Emotions in the Heart or The Call of the Heart.
Okay.
Anyway, that's their argument is there is no bad feeling. But, I really am not going off of our notes, but getting all these ideas. So I think in one of those books, I think it's Jenny Allen's book, she talks about how we name things to have authority over them. So God gave us the power to name, you know, all of the animals, all of the things in Genesis. And so I think there's some correlation with naming a feeling.
Yeah.
So you can be feeling something and not stop to notice it or to name it. And then we kind of react instead of like intentionally respond.
Correct.
Yes. So can you elaborate a little bit on the difference between a reaction and a response, like an intentional response?
Yes, absolutely. So reactions happen when I actually haven't named the feeling. They happen because I'm doing it and it will happen every time. So if I have a feeling that I haven't taken a look at and had authority over, then it's going to have authority over me.
Right.
Does this make sense? So it's going to just come out like instantaneously. Yeah. And so when I respond and after I have like named that feeling and I have really understood where it was coming from, I get to respond in love. I get to respond in truth of where whatever the Lord has showed me in that situation, but that takes time.
Yeah.
And it oftentimes, I'm just going to throw this out, I don't know if it's in here, but it often feels less powerful. I know this sounds weird. So sometimes when I can do my emotions, say it's anger, right? Anger is a really powerful emotion. And to be able to do emotion, I feel really powerful. I feel very strong. I feel very like firm in who I am. However, I may have just hijacked a relationship that's really valuable to me, right? And so God's not about us being right. He's about us being with him in our emotions, say. And so sometimes some things may happen that cause anger inside me that are hurtful to me. And I mean, I get to be able to sit with that for sometimes. But if I'm just immediately defensive, that would be a reaction.
Yeah.
It will hijack every relationship I have. When I am able to respond with a gentle startup, or if I'm able to respond with actually being, you know, self-aware of what I brought to the situation, none of that can I do if I haven't named and sat with understanding where that emotion was coming from or what the Lord's trying to do in me with it.
Definitely. So it sounds like noticing and naming those things make you slow down.
100%.
Because in order to notice, first, you kind of have to like feel your body. And even physically, I don't know the science behind all of that. But I know my daughter tells me she feels anger in her hands.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? I mean, it totally is a thing. Possible. She does it, but so she like clenches her fist and I can't relate.
Yes. So the responding when I react, I'm actually in a different part of my brain. Okay. So I'm back in the emotional part of my brain in that fight, flight or freeze response. Mm-hmm. It's a self-protective measure of some sort. Okay. It's not always needed. Often, in fact, rarely is it needed. Occasionally, like if a bear's coming at me,
right,
I'm going to be very scared and I better run, right? Yeah. Like that's why we need that.
We don't need to like take time to be like, should I run?
Yeah, from should this I run? Bear? What am I feeling right now? I'm feeling fear from this bear. I will be ate by that. You know, right. That would not be good. And so I want to be able to be mindful that I'm in the different part of my brain.
Okay.
I'm not in the premedial frontal cortex where I'm thinking about things, where I'm reasoning, where I'm using wisdom and logic and truth that God, and we get all that from the Word of God. That's where we know our truth is, right? And so you're in a different part of the brain. In fact, when I'm back here in the part of my brain that is the fight, flight, or freeze response, I'm not able to be regulated.
Okay.
So I first have to calm that. And by naming it actually puts the energy of my brain back up to the thinking portion.
That's what I was going to ask. Yes. So you can move it to the reasonable portion of your brain.
Yes, you can. Okay. Breathing. That's why we have a lot, you know, they say like, just take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. What it does is it takes all that energy that's to react, to move it up to a different portion of your brain where the Lord is able, we're able to access the truth of God, right?
And
we're
not here.
Yes. Yeah, you got it. And so we have to first slow that brain down. Okay. Naming it is a great way to be able to do that.
Yeah. So she talks about naming first very simply because, so my husband, I didn't know that this was a thing. Actually didn't know his emotions. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn that through counseling that he like actually either is fine or not fine. Mm-hmm. Those are the two that he's got down. He's much further than that now, but like at the beginning of our marriage, it was either fine or not. Mm-hmm. It was like actually fine or angry. Those were the two.
Yes.
And so he had to really practice and it was really cool to watch him grow in this area, but being able to be like, okay, this is what I'm feeling. And he actually did have to start with fine or not fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of funnel it from there.
Yes.
We have a feelings chart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're good. I got one on my phone.
Do you?
I do still.
And do you use it?
100%. Yes.
Like for yourself.
Yes.
Even though you are emotionally, I would say like mature.
Yeah. So definitely there's more emotional maturity, but man, there are still some things that I will feel in my body. I'm like, ugh, I don't like this because we feel our emotions in our body. I'm like, I don't like this feeling. I'm like, Lord, what is it? And I will pull up my feelings word chart. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I remember weirdly, like betrayal isn't something that I feel often.
Okay.
But I remember I felt this yucky feeling. It was a couple summers back. I'm like, what is this? This feels awful. And I pulled up the feeling word chart. I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel betrayed. Like, Lord, why am I feeling betrayed right now? And I sat in a long time with him and he was tender to me in that capacity and opened up a lot of insight for me. And so that I could not get rid of betrayal, but move through it in a beautiful fashion. And no one even betrayed me. Isn't that weird?
Oh yeah.
Like it wasn't even an actual betrayal.
But it was just something that gave you that feeling.
Yes.
And you wouldn't have known that.
No, not at all.
And then you couldn't have brought it to our Father, you
correct.
Know?
Yes.
So that's really interesting. Maybe I should download a feelings chart.
I recommend everyone.
Heard from a lot of like children's counselors that it's really important.
Yes.
As we're learning more about this in our day and age, for children to be able to put words to their feelings too.
Absolutely.
So you recommend like, okay, so we can start simple. Okay, not okay, fine, not fine, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of funnel it in like, okay, here's the not good emotions or what we would call
uncomfortable.
That. Thank you. Uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Uncomfortable.
Sad, mad, you know, fearful. And then there's even more descriptors beyond that.
Yes.
And when you can get really specific, it does feel like you have more authority over it. Like you were saying with the betrayal, you could have been like, I feel bad. I feel hurt.
Yeah.
I feel betrayed. Like, what?
I feel icky. I don't know what icky is, you know, like icky's hard to like navigate, but yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is that what you recommend, I guess, to somebody that like my husband, who's like, I don't even know where to start.
Yes. Yeah. So 100%, like based off of, and I don't want to get too deep, but kind of based off of our attachment style or what we learned growing up, the messages we learned about our emotions, right? Yeah. Some of us learn you just do them and you do them on whomever and you feel them deeply. Some of us learn like you never feel them. You need to stuff them out because they're not okay. They're not helpful in any way, shape or form. Like there's a lot of different messages that we learn about emotions growing up. And so if I grow up, like for me, I had an avoidant attachment style. So emotions weren't something I really was attuned to at all.
Yeah, that's what Steven's attachment style is too. Yeah.
Yes. So it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so I really did need that feelings word list. And I would self-examine a lot. Like, Lord, show me me so that I can know you, right? Yeah. Like, show me where I'm at. And typically the first part of that is I start to pay very close attention to my body, especially if I've been a stuffer of emotions. My body will tell me. I'll feel tightness in my chest. I might not even know I'm having an emotion, but I'll feel tightness in my chest or in my jaw, or my stomach will feel queasy, or my hands will feel tense, right? And then I get to slowly, what we say, open the feelings curtain. Because typically people who don't feel emotions, they don't really feel any of them intensely, not even the good ones or the comfortable ones, right? So joy is something that sometimes people, if they can't feel sadness or grief or loneliness very well, they also don't feel joy in hope, in excitement very well. It's just kind of like we numb out, like we're neutral, right? And so we talk about it like a feelings curtain, like you're in a hotel, you know, and you pull that string and both of the curtains open up. Mm-hmm. That's what it's like when we get to understand our emotional or being emotionally attuned to ourself, is that as we start to open up those curtains, which can be kind of scary,
right?
And can be kind of uncomfortable. What we start to notice is both start to kind of come alive. Right. Yeah. So I open it. Maybe it might be good or bad. And maybe that's the depth. Right. And then I'm like, okay, let's wait and see what comes up next. And then we are being more attuned and more attuned and more regulated and spending more time with the Lord. And I even hate to say more because that sounds weighty and heavy, but just more of a get to. Right. Yeah. And so as we start to open up that bandwidth, we get access to being able to feel all of them. Mm-hmm. In a safe and structured way.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds so like from this, if you are at this point, like my husband was, it would be important to have someone guiding you.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've never known what to do with them.
Yeah.
Right.
And that so seems like a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And if I have this flood of emotions, like, what am I supposed to do with them? Right. Yeah. I'm going to want to close that curtain real quick. And so we get to let healing be gradual. That's the way.
That's what I was going to ask. Yes. Is it like a little bit at a time? Yes. It's not like, all right, rip it off.
Right.
Here we go.
Yes. And we got to know what the need is. So most of the time, our emotions are our needs. Hear me out.
And okay, so yeah, explain that.
Unless it's kind of aligned with, if it's aligned with a lie, then I really have to know kind of what I need. So it can get a little bit tricky. But so say I'm sad.
Okay.
You know what I need. What would you need?
If I was sad, comfort.
Comfort.
Yeah.
Right. So say I never knew I was sad, I would never seek comfort.
Yes.
Does this make sense? Mm-hmm. So say I'm angry. Do you know what I need?
No. What do you?
Regulated.
Oh, regulated. Okay.
Regulated. Yep. So I can get back up to the different part. Say I'm confused.
Yeah.
Do you know what I need?
Tell me.
help a girl
don't,
out. Tara.
Yeah,
help
don't a girl put out. Me in a spot like this.
I might need clarity. Right?
Okay, yes,
and
yes,
so
yes, yes.
Our emotions often will tell us what we need. Most of us are really good at telling you what you need to do so I don't feel this way.
Uh-huh.
But God didn't give me a spirit of others control. He gave me the spirit of self-control. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I need to know what I need. And I'm going to ask my Father, what is it that I'm needing here? And how do I get that need met, right? So can I go ask someone for comfort? If I'm opening that curtain and I don't have a beautiful body of Christ around me,
yeah,
then I might need that support. Does that make mm-hmm. sense? So if someone's going on and I'm going to learn my emotion, have this emotional healing journey, beautiful. Yes and amen. Freedom for them. Don't do it alone.
Right.
That makes sense.
Definitely yeah. makes sense. So when you start, like when you start this, a counselor or somebody that is, yeah, probably a counselor mm-hmm. is very important to have. But then you said like the body of Christ, like somebody around you that you can speak to. Was it hard for you? This is like personal. When you were kind of opening those curtains, did it feel hard to say what you needed or no?
For sure.
Okay.
I first feeling, just FYI, is guilt.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So when just someone has, warning. Yes, FYI, it may surface and it's just a tactic of the enemy, truly.
Yeah.
Because it's okay to have need.
Oh,
right. Okay. And if it's okay for other people to have need, it's okay for me to have need as well. Right. But when I had this lie that I was attached to, that other people's needs are more important than mine, I don't really have space or time for my needs. Okay. Right. These yeah. are these belief systems that we need to look at by recognizing the emotion. And so then the peace of God says, it's okay for you to have needs. You're human. Like, oh, I am human and right. humans have needs. This is really liberating.
Yeah.
And then being able to ask of them mm-hmm. and receive love. I'm going to tell you, it's the greatest gift. I remember the first time I was working with my husband on this, and we were sitting in what we call a comfort circle. So it's just a really engaging way of actively listening to the heart okay. instead of the head. And I remember just sharing with him, it was like a first time. And I'm going to say we were like 8, 7 years into our marriage. And it was the first time I was like talking heart language to him. And mm-hmm. I was terrified. I'm not yeah. going to lie. I was yeah. terrified. And at the same point in time, I was liberated because I think it was the first time I intentionally received comfort from him. I didn't even know what the feeling was because I just had stuffed them for so long. And so it was like, whoa, that was a gift to be able to receive from someone without guilt being present, right? And it was like, I think I could do this over and yeah. over again because it's beautiful.
And I bet your husband loved being able to give that to you.
Yes, 100%. It's the first time he was able to. Yeah. And he was like, I'm the man,
yeah.
you know,
thank
I got
you.
This.
Yeah. yeah. So do you feel like it was hard for you to bring that to God? Like, or was that a little bit more natural? What was your experience?
Like the emotions?
Yeah. To be like, God, I am feeling, get out your feelings chart this mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. I need this from you right now.
It wasn't necessarily hard, but there was a process that I went through as in understanding my emotions and some of the confusion and some of when life doesn't happen well. I went through kind of progressively in my life where I actually didn't trust God.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So if I'm going to take my emotions to someone I don't trust, mm-hmm. then that's not going to work very well.
Right.
Right. And so I had to actually work on that belief system
okay.
that I don't trust God. Mm-hmm. And really sit with where that fear comes from. My theology was not necessarily sound uh-huh. in who God is, right? And so I got to sit a lot with him in the emotional sense, the physical sense. And I did it on purpose, intentionally, every day mm-hmm. for 60 days in a row. And I recorded every day because I wanted people to be able to walk through that journey with me. And it was a process. Have you ever heard of Dr. Carolyn Leaf?
No.
It's called Switch on Your Brain. So she does like she's an amazing Christian psychologist about working with the neurology of the brain and thinking mm-hmm. patterns of the brain. And it's just like a meditative way of like looking at things and then action steps to take truth and put it into action. But I tell you what, going through that 60 days of that belief system and the feelings that went there and coming out on the other end, like I not only fully trust God, but he is my closest friend. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to take your heart to your closest friend mm-hmm. and have them be able to meet you there is the best gift. And it's my creator, mm-hmm. my God, my savior, right? And so I had to work over a hurdle mm-hmm. of that lack of trust. And I don't think I'm the only one. I think tough times, and we don't have the understanding of why bad things happen, and the first go-to, the first lie is that God is not trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And I say it's a lie because it is.
Yeah.
You know, and so as we sit with it and we learn and we grow and we are soft to ourselves in those spaces, God is just faithful to reveal his character to us.
Yeah. That is so beautiful. I love that he kind of, through even just like understanding your emotions and your heart, but then also like meeting you there, and then also building that trust, which is probably, I mean, definitely changed your life,
yes.
right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then, so that's kind of what you love about counseling is being able to do the same for others.
Yes. It is a joy. Like, it is a joy when someone understands themselves for the first time, or they like, I just really want to receive this truth. And then they walk in. It's like, it's a fun get to for me.
So you went from head knowledge to heart knowledge in that 60 days. Mm-hmm. And do you feel like that's a lot of where people are with emotions, or do you see a lot of emotions leading the way, like we were talking about, like reacting mm-hmm. versus responding?
So definitely we got to align the head and the heart. That's what we call security. That's truly where freedom is.
Like, you need both.
You need both in alignment.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Okay. So have you ever been to a place where you're like, I just feel so fill in the blank. I mean, I know that that's not true, but I feel that it is true. Yeah. That disconnect, God's going after something in you.
Okay.
When there is a disconnect between what I know is true and what I feel is true, typically I'm believing a lie somewhere in there. I have some kind of trauma or something in my past or something that I have not resolved within myself. And when we recognize that there's that difference and we're like, hey, there's a disconnect here. God is wanting to show me something. Because as it's like, I know God is true and I know that God loves me and I know that God is good, but I don't feel like it.
Yeah, you probably hear that a lot in your counseling, huh?
100%.
I said that a lot when I was in counseling. Yeah. Like, I know it. I just can't.
I just don't feel it.
Yeah.
And typically, there's something in there that needs resolved inside of me, a belief system, a trauma, a hurt, maybe a different perspective that I hadn't even thought of, because God says his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's wanting to take me to a higher level of thinking so I can be integrated, my head and my heart.
Okay, so we've talked about noticing and naming. Would there ever be a time when, and like you kind of said with the bear thing, like that's kind of, I've never been in the forest with a bear and needed to run. So it's not super common probably, but I mean like in everyday life, or even like not in everyday life, like I think, and I've said this before on the podcast, but like hard times where somebody's in the hospital or things like that, where you actually need to compartmentalize and not notice and name for that period of time.
Yes. So you're talking about the difference between like suppressing and containing an emotion, an emotion or a belief system of some sort. So suppression is something that I do when I don't want to look at it ever.
Ever.
Okay. So I stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. And I have no intentions of doing anything with that. Just a side note, if I'm a stuffer, that energy, for lack of a better term, that's going to come out somewhere. It's either going to come out in a blow. Oftentimes we know that people who do not process their emotions well, they can come out with physically, like they can be physically ill, you know? And so I may think I'm stuffing something, but it will seep out somewhere, right? And so suppression works because I don't have to feel it.
Yeah.
But there's a cost. You know, the devil, he has a counterfeit for everything that is good, right? Mm. So he's like, suppress it, don't feel it, suppress it, don't feel it. Mm. And God's like, how about we, I don't know if he would say this, it's not biblical, but this is Tara. So, but we contain it until we can take it to our Father, right? So we contain something so that we have time and intention with our Father. And, you know, biblically, I guess if you look at like Jesus, like he had to have so much emotion. I mean, look at the ministry he did. And his word talks about all his emotion, mm-hmm. right? Talks about it. Doesn't talk about him necessarily doing all these emotions. Like he's sitting with people. He's feeling. He has empathy. He has confusion. Mm-hmm. He has anger. He has all of these things that we have because God's word says he experienced everything that we experience. But we see him a bazillion times, maybe not a bazillion, that's a lot, but biblically, he goes away mm-hmm. often to be with his Father in prayer. Mm-hmm. And that is like this reconnect. I don't know what he did in that time, but I know what I do. And I go throughout the day and I feel all these things and experience all these things. And I'm not going to do them and react out of them because I don't want that in my life. But I'm going to go away and I'm going to contain them for a second. Like, ooh, that was really bad. I don't really like that. There's something there, but I don't have, this is not the time or the space to process this. Like, I don't want to process this in Walmart. Could you imagine if we were all like processing things in Walmart? That would be interesting.
We would not want to go there even more.
Right, exactly. But I'm going to contain it and say, hey, God, let's you and I do this a little bit later. But then I take intentional time to bring it back out, allow the Lord to shine into that space and to be able to heal from that. So that I don't take it with me. I just take it out in a space that I can be free from it.
I'm picturing Tupperware. I don't know why.
Yeah. Good container. In fact, my office, we have a lot of people who use Tupperware in their
container. In
containers.
Their brains,
yes,
really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yep, in their brains.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're just like putting it in the container to come back to.
You got it. And then I just pull it out and I'm like, okay, Lord, what are we going
to
do?
What came to my mind though, is like, we can't just keep it in the fridge. And let it get moldy.
True. That's true. That would be maybe suppression.
Yeah,
that's when
you get to suppression. But I think it's so important to have like intentional time set aside.
Yes.
Because I know that I can have the intention to eat these leftovers. But if I am planning dinner every night and I don't actually ever have a night plan where we eat our leftovers, they just go bad.
Yes.
And I've noticed that with myself. I'll be like, okay. So for example, even just today, my daughter's telling her like 100 times, please go to the car, please go to the car, please go to the car. Mm-hmm. And then she wasn't listening and I got mad. And then I raised my voice and I shouldn't have. And I apologized and did all the things, but I was like, okay, this is something is really bothering me because it's not a huge deal. Mm-hmm. But we do need to come back to it because I have to go take her to school
yes.
now.
Yes.
And I could easily not set aside the time tonight or in the morning mm-hmm. and not come back to it.
Right.
And then I would do it again. I know I will.
Of course.
But so I guess my point is that having like even, I don't know, like 30 minutes even probably is a good amount of time to journal and pray and just bring it to God.
Yes.
Do you have like practical ways of doing that?
Well, practical is time.
Yeah.
And there are, I mean, when you're being emotionally attuned to yourself, it does take time. And it takes time and intention and listening and processing. I want to know what I am thinking that is causing this emotion. Mm-hmm. And if my thought does not line with the will of God, right? If it does not line with the truth of God, then I must take it captive, was what God's word says. Mm-hmm. When you take something captive, you put it in handcuffs, right? You think if you take the bad guy, you put him in captive and you make it obedient to Christ, mm-hmm. which means I take that lie, I take that thought, I captive it so it doesn't run havoc on my life, right? Mm-hmm. I think about what it is and I take it to the judge. And he says, no, this is far from the truth. And this is the truth that's going to set you free. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So like this morning, I mean, it could be, I haven't sat with it, but it could be something like, oh, she's out to make me late and I'm going to look like a bad mom to the principal who's at the door every morning. Like just silly things that are not truth at all.
Correct.
Correct. So setting that time aside.
Yeah. That time aside is really important because then something's going to need to be done. Right. So there'll be an action step. Okay. So we know that faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. Right. So I can have the truth, but if I do not put the word of God and the truth into action, then it's not going to become alive in me. I won't become integrated. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That head to heart knowledge won't happen. So let's just, can we use your example?
Yeah, I was going to ask you to actually.
Okay. So my guess, if I had a guess without even going there with
it's
you.
It's fine.
You probably felt disrespected.
Yeah. Right.
True?
Yeah.
Okay. That I am supposed to be somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling rushed. I feel disrespected. And you need to listen to me because we got to go. Yeah. Right. And then we get angry, which is a total normal parent response, just FYI. And so, but then if we were to reflect on it, I might have to say, okay, Lord, what, in order for me to have and feel respected, my daughter's not disrespecting me. Yeah. That's not her heart. Mm-hmm. That's not who she is. She's sweet and she's loving and she does not know of the emotional, stressful turmoil that I am trying to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. She's just doing her jam, doing her thing. Like, I wish we all were like little children. That's what God says. We got to become like these guys who are just a little more carefree. But we lose that somehow, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not that I don't need her to respect and listen to me. I still do. Mm-hmm. But my delivery of that is going to come from a gracious assumption to my daughter.
Yeah.
And it may say something like, this is aligning with the word of God, like, hey, sweetheart, I love you. And I know you are good and beautiful. And mommy needs to go. Right. Yeah. And so what can we do so that next time mommy can go quickly and you still can be playing and loving, right? Like it may be, I'm going to give you a 5-minute timer, or it may be, what do you, we want to sing a song before we go and we have a fun ritual of connection. And so then we move into going, but we move into going with love and not lie.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Definitely.
But that takes time, right?
Yeah.
And so like Jesus, he went away often.
Yeah.
Right? He went away often to reflect, to seek, to find the will of God in his life.
When you did the 60 days, how long do you think it took before you were seeing like transformation?
Oh, for sure. 21 days. So it's called the
21. Like you actually know the day.
Oh yeah. Because the content of Dr. Carolyn Leaf is that workshop that she does. It's, the 21 day brain detox is what it's called. And by 21 days, like I'm telling you, I was set free. Yeah. I was set free. What we do, why we do it in additional 2 cycles, essentially, of that is really to just sink it into your core. You know, like if I'm ever worked out, have you ever worked out?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't tell right now, but I have.
You got a baby growing in now. But you work out and you're like, man, I'm working out, and I'm going good for like 2 weeks. Woo, I feel great. Mm-hmm. And then you quit. And like, it just goes away in a nanosecond. You're like, oh my goodness, like, what's up with that? And we know in order to have a habit start, right? Which is a habit is just a mindset, right? It's a transformation mindset, which God's word says, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? To have this mind be aligned with the will of God. But that takes time and intention and action, right? So for 21 days, I'm just sitting with the Lord in truth, really moving in action steps of God's goodness, finding, because we will find what we're looking for, finding where he was faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful through every dark moment I have ever been in. And his word says, we're going to have suffering, right? Just picking up all those pieces of truth and then moving in action of them. So 21 days. And I just really never wanted to lose it.
So you did it 3 times?
The same belief system. Same. I can trust God and have an intimate relationship with him.
That is so cool. Yeah. I want to look this up when we're
done. It's powerful. Powerful.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that you've said is that we, and this one is just really pertains to me. I'm very convicted by it, but that we move through with God and not not wish or pray away things.
Yes. Because
I think that's what I do. I'm like, in almost everything, and not even just in my own life, but like for my family, I'm like, oh God, so-and-so is really struggling right now. Take this from him.
Or, yeah.
And sometimes he does deliver us in that way. But yeah, the work that's done from moving through and naming, noticing, and then bringing them back to God is just, he did that. He made us that way for a reason.
Yes, he did. And you know what his word says, and we kind of fly over it sometimes, but that suffering leads to perseverance and perseverance to character, right? I'm not fully articulating well, but there's a suffering that leads to perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope, right? That's the way of the kingdom. It's suffering, persevering with God.
Yeah, not just ignoring or wishing
with
away.
God. And then my character aligns a lot more to God, which allows us to have hope. Does this make sense?
Definitely.
And so a lot of us want to get rid of suffering. It's horrible. And if we feel terrible, and God is with us in it, always. It's beautiful.
It is. Well, on that note, with that beautiful word you just said, I think that we can wrap up. Do you have any last thoughts or anything that you want to share?
No, you know, I guess my encouragement to the listeners would just simply be, start with just carving out, even if it's 10 minutes, 10 minutes. You know, we all have phones these days. If something's like bothering you through the day, just jot a little note in your phone, right? Like, use your phone as your container so that when I spend the next, when I wake up the next morning or the evening or whatever, I can be like, oh Lord, there was this thing. Like, what was I feeling? And what was I believing? What's the belief that I had? And then seek out truth in the Word of God. Let that be your first step.
So good.
What am I feeling? What am I believing? And what is the truth, God, that sets me free? And then one action step, just one.
Yeah, what one do you want me to step. Do with
what
that?
What do you want me to do with the truth, right, of who you are? And truly, I think they'll start to see a lot more transformation in their life if they want to get really solid. Get that 21-day brain detox. It's Carolyn Leaf. She's
I'm going to try it.
It's fun, but it does take time.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it like a, like I could start it now? You know, I have like a lot, I have like kidney stones and pregnancy and all those things. Should I wait a second?
So she says, I'll give this little caveat. I think if I remember it correct, it should only take 8 to 10 minutes a day.
Okay.
Okay, 8 to 10 minutes a day. I stood with it a lot longer.
Yeah, I probably would too,
Because I mean, once you get into the Word of God, you get the truth, you're like, oh, wow.
So you just
You just want more and more of
it. Like I saw somebody the other day, which this is so sad. This is what it was compared to, but like a Netflix show that you just are like,
binge watching.
Yes. And then once you start getting into the Word of God that way, you just crave it. You're like, I want more. Yeah.
I was thinking of a bag of Doritos. You just can't have one. You got to have the whole bag, like just more and more. So I
Jesus
mean, but truly
probably loves those analogies.
I know he does. He's like cool. I bet he liked Doritos if they were a thing at the time.
Well, thank you so much, Tara. I loved having you. Thank you for all your wisdom.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.